Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
I know it's a split sermon, but I'm still just using my phone, so you'll have to hear me for a little longer than usual, but it'll be hopefully a good one. I want to start with a question. Is it possible to memorize the entire Bible word for word? If you ask the internet this question of who has done this, has anyone done this, you'll get varying reports. I asked a couple sites, and ChatGPT says no one has done this. Other sites say there's actually about 2,000 people living today that have done this. Some notable figures that claim to have done this, we'll go back in time a bit. There's a man named St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century. Obviously, I can't verify that because he's not alive, but he has claimed to have memorized the entire Bible. There's a man, actually, I think living today. His name is Tom Meyer. He nicknamed himself the Bible Memory Man. You can look this up on Wikipedia. He was born in 1976. He actually can verifiably quote more than 20 books, word for word, of the entire Bible. I don't know if he can quote the whole thing. It's not verified, but I think 20 books is pretty good, being able to quote all that. I personally struggle with memorizing things. I'm much better at being an engineer, much better at figuring things out on the fly, you know, being able to solve a problem. You know, I do think in hypotheticals. I do tend to work on that, but this was a problem in my college with tests. I'm not a great test taker. Tests involve a lot of memory, of a lot of, you know, definitions and a lot of just basic, you know, memorization. But I struggle with tests. I was much better at the practical application of things, being an engineer. So I can respect those who can dedicate themselves to memorizing large portions of the Bible. I think it's very admirable. I love to bring up chess analogies. A lot of the greatest chess players in the world are great at memorizing things. You actually have to have a really good memory to know the positions of chess. And they tend to focus their memorization on actual positions you'd play in a game and not necessarily just every single possible combination there is. And I think there's a nice lesson there that we probably should be memorizing, you know, important things in the Bible. The whole thing's important, but there's definitely more important things than others. But let's look at some scriptures that talk about keeping God's word on, you know, your mind, on your heart. So we're going to turn to a couple verses here. Let's start in Deuteronomy to begin. We'll turn to Deuteronomy 6. We're going to kind of start in the Old Testament, and we're going to work our way to the New Testament. But I think you'll see throughout the scriptures here, there's definitely a pattern. God's definitely consistent throughout his scripture, and he does want us. There's definitely an aspect of memorization that he wants us to have with his word. So let's read Deuteronomy 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontless between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You can turn next to Joshua 1, similar passage over in Joshua. This is God speaking after Moses' death. He spoke to Joshua, and he gives a similar account, but I think it's helpful to read multiple accounts here. So we'll read Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I think if you're looking for scripture to help prove to you that it's good to study the word every single day, you can definitely look to these two to get some evidence towards that. It's definitely something that God wants us to meditate on, to focus on, and potentially memorize. If it's going to be written in our hearts, we need to have something memorized. Well, let's start moving our way to the New Testament. We're going to read Jeremiah 31. It's not the New Testament quite yet, but this is actually also quoted in Hebrews. So if you turn to Jeremiah 31, we're going to talk about the new covenant, of how God is going to deal with what he just said, writing his word in our hearts, but he's going to talk about this with the new covenant. And we're going to read that in Jeremiah 31. And again, you can write down that this is actually quoted in Hebrews. But 31, we're going to read verses 31 through 33 of Jeremiah 31. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I made, the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law into their minds, and I will write it into their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." What exactly does it mean to have God's law written on our hearts? It's kind of a question that I want to answer. And no, it does not mean you have to memorize the entire Bible. Don't worry about that. But it does mean that we need to use God's tools, and the Holy Spirit's a tool we'll get into for the New Testament, of using his tools to understand his law and put that understanding in our hearts. So let's now turn actually to the New Testament. We'll read another verse, but this time we'll actually go to the New Testament. We'll read 1 Corinthians 2. We're talking about this Holy Spirit that God gave to us, and I want to highlight that the Holy Spirit is given to us not just to memorize the Bible. You know, it's admirable to do that probably, but the Holy Spirit is there to help us understand the deeper things of the Bible. So if we turn to 1 Corinthians 2, finally we're in the New Testament, we'll read verses 10 through 12. "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the Word, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." I think it's very important to see that it says the deep things of God there in the end of verse 10, that we are not called, you know, you should have a good knowledge, as we read in the Old Testament, a knowledge of the law, a knowledge of his works and what he wants us to do, but the Holy Spirit has been given to us in the new covenant to write the understanding of that on our hearts. The difference in understanding versus knowledge, I kind of wrote some stuff down here, that understanding is the grasping the meaning of facts, understanding maybe the bigger picture of what the law means. You can definitely memorize facts, you can, you know, retain things, but you might not understand everything just by retaining things. On the flip side, you also might not need to know every single little detail in order to fully understand the bigger picture. I think both of those come into play when we can use the Holy Spirit to better our understanding of God's law on our hearts. Going back to my chess example, it's very interesting that the best chess players, they do have that good memory. You have to have that baseline memory to be able to understand all the positions of the game, but they also have a good skill of being able to use their memory, their knowledge of the positions, in order to best their opponent, right? You know, you're not gonna be able to have every single pattern memorized. Just like in life, you're not gonna have every single situation memorized that you could come up with. That's where the Holy Spirit and your understanding of God's principles, you need to have those written on your heart so that you can use those principles in your walk with God, because you're not going to have every single situation memorized. Let's turn to Proverbs. I want to throw a little bit of a caveat in this. We're going to turn to Proverbs 3. Because, yes, we need to write our understanding using the Holy Spirit, you know, on our hearts, not just the memorizing part, but also the meaning behind his words on our heart. But Proverbs 3, we're going to read something here. I'm going to read verses 3 through 8. My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, just like we've been talking about. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now, I think we can think and understand that the Holy Spirit is what gives us understanding, but I really want to actually just dive really deep into this, not leaning on your own understanding, because it's actually more complex than, at least when I first read it, it's more complex than I gave it credit for. Because if we are called to use the Holy Spirit to gain knowledge and understanding of God's way, how do we lean on God's understanding and not our own understanding for when we learn about his law? Well, this is actually going to be an interesting analogy, hopefully. If you turn over to Judges, there's a famous example we use in Judges for how people behaved back in the Old Testament. And I think we can use this analogy of Judges for how people behaved and come up with an answer to how and what it means to lean on your own understanding and how not to do that, how to lean on God's understanding and put that on your heart. In Judges 17, we're just going to read two verses here, 5 and 6. And again, I think you may have heard this before. We've said this quite a bit. So verse 5 of Judges 17, the man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and household of idols, and he consecrated one of his sons who became the priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Verse 6, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You've heard that before, right? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's when I think of the judges, that's the first thing that comes to my mind is, yes, there were righteous judges that came to Israel, you know, every so often, but really, it was the time period where Israel did what was right in their own eyes. If you think about it, everyone does what's right in their own eyes. That's kind of how we live life. When you are studying God's scripture, you are trying to apply his understanding on your heart, it's still you doing the action, you're still going through your life, you're still trying to do what you think is correct. That's how we all, as long as you're not trying to sin, hopefully you're not trying to sin, hopefully you're trying to do what's right, everyone does what they think is right. The criticism here, actually, in Judges, what God is telling them is they weren't trying to take God's understanding of what's right and wrong and put that on their heart. They were acting as the moral authority in their minds of, I will determine without God what I think is right. They weren't writing God's understanding of his law on their hearts. They weren't writing God's understanding of what's right and wrong on their hearts. They were choosing for themselves what they think is right and what they think is wrong. But really, in our life, what we need to do, and this is the, you can say the SPS or the big point of my message, is everyone needs to apply their understanding of what they think God's right and wrong is on their heart. You need to not only have it memorized, some of it, but you need to apply what you think God thinks is right and wrong. You can't do what you think is right and wrong just in your own eyes. You have to take what you think God is saying from the scripture is right and wrong and apply that on your heart. At the end of the day, you're still going to walk and with your own understanding, you're going to hopefully try and do what you think is right. But I think the point is that every single day, if we go back to those Old Testament scriptures, we need to be studying God's word. We need to be applying what it says in the Bible to our hearts. If we can do that, then we're going to align our thinking with God's thinking, and hopefully that is going to be written on our hearts. And now that we have the New Testament Holy Spirit, we can use that tool to even further that understanding, the deeper things of God, and write those onto our heart. I think it was pretty interesting, the last sermon Mr. Boucher gave, we talked about Uzzah. Remember Uzzah, where he held the ark back from falling and he was killed for it? And we can almost think that he was trying to do the right thing, but really, if you apply this principle to what he was doing what he thought was right in his own eyes. He didn't have malicious intent. You don't have to have malicious intent to not apply God's law to your heart. You just don't have to have it memorized sometimes. You might just be wrong. It's very interesting. And we also heard about the Beth Shemesh people, you know, that opened the ark, and we don't know how many people died, but you know, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands, but they were doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. They were leaning on their own understanding of the word. They may not have bad intentions, but the consequences are still there. So you can definitely have good intentions and still lean on your own understanding. You can have good intentions and still not apply God's understanding, his, what he says is right and wrong, on your heart. All right, I have a little bit of a personal story here. I think this is kind of a fun example. So I was in band growing up. I'm a drummer. Funny thing, my band instructor would always tell when we were ready to begin, she would say, all right, musicians and percussionists, you know, stand up. It's like I wasn't a musicianist, I guess. I was just a percussionist. But it was kind of interesting. We had a weekly piece that we had to play, and I think I cannot remember to this day if I was trying to play the timpani or play the snare drum. Doesn't really matter, though, but I didn't really give it too much thought. I read the piece, and I was like, okay, I can do this. So I went home, and I didn't really practice at all. And so I come in next week, and I play the piece, and I didn't make a mistake. I played it correct. But then my band instructor just looked at me and paused and said, you sight read that, right? And what sight reading is just not practicing a piece. You're playing it for the very first time. And I was a little astounded because I was like, what? I didn't make a mistake. How did you know I sight read it? And they said, well, you didn't have confidence in how you were playing, and it didn't seem like you were familiar with how you were playing. You didn't make a mistake necessarily, but you weren't familiar and you didn't have confidence. And I was shocked that they could tell that, but I think that's a interesting analogy, because if we don't write God's heart or God's law on our heart, it's almost like we're trying to sight read life. Now again, sight reading is when you're not practicing, when you're not doing what it said in the Old Testament of putting his word in your mouth daily. You're just going through life. It's almost like you're not, you know, relying on God until you have to do something. And then you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to think about God. I'm not going to write his law in my heart at all. I'm not going to talk about him every day. But when a trial comes, okay, I know his principles, so I'll make it through the trials with my sight reading capabilities. And that's not what God wants us to do, because if we do that, we're not familiar with God, we're not confident in his way, and we're not keeping him involved in our daily life, writing his word on our hearts. If we live in this world, we know we live in the world, we're trying to live in God's kingdom as well for the future, but we are of the world still. We're living in the world, I should say. We're not of the world, but we're living in the world. We have to deal with the things of the world. And when you walk through life, if you don't have God's word written on your heart, and you just have a trial, and you just ask for God's help, or you even, worse, rely on your own understanding when a trial comes. I'm guilty of this so often because of my engineering brain. I tend to think of, well, I can just memorize the principles, and then whenever a problem comes up, I'll use the principle of God and I'll apply it to the situation, and I don't really have to study the principle after that because I've got it memorized. Well, that's not what God has in mind for us. He wants us to have the musical piece memorized. He wants us to have his word written on our hearts so that there's a familiarity between him and us, that there is a confidence that we have between him and us, because he wants to be there as our guide even when there isn't a trial. If you turn, you don't have to turn to Psalm 23. You can turn there if you want. It's, verse 4, we kind of know this, that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. If you don't have God with you, when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you can almost say that's like this world, and you're trying to rely on your own understanding, then there isn't any comfort that God can give you, because you put him out of your heart. Your understanding is the only thing that could give you comfort if that's how you live your life. You're not relying on God. I think that that's pretty sobering in my mind, because that's something that I struggle with. I go to this website, Stack Overflow, for programming help, and there was a very interesting principle that I learned, and I stuck with it. It helps me in my programming life. It's basically, I was reading this post on a coding question of what gets called first in these two lines of code. I'm like, it's a way they relate to each other, and it's not always super obvious of which is called first by the computer. And the top answer was, don't memorize this. It's not worth memorizing which line gets called first. Understand it and apply that understanding to now any time you see, you know, the same or similar code in your career. And I love that. I apply that all the time in my life. But when we are thinking of God's way, we need both the memorization of certain, you know, his law, some of it, not the whole Bible, but we also need to then have that understanding, but we need to not rely on that understanding, rely on God's understanding. All right, we come to one more question that I have. Do we need to have the Holy Spirit to have this understanding? That's another question I have in regards to what we're writing on our hearts. And what I've written down, if you just want to write down the summary of this point, do we need to have the Holy Spirit to have this understanding, is that we definitely need to be called in order to have some understanding of God's way, but not necessarily baptized. If you want to turn to Acts 8, we're going to read an example of this. I'm not saying to not get baptized. You definitely need the Holy Spirit if you want a full understanding of God's way, but faith begins before baptism, and therefore some understanding is needed before you are baptized. In Acts 8, we're going to read in verse 26, and we're going to read the whole account all the way through verse 40 of Philip and the Ethiopian. So verse 26 of Acts 8, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake," which also means the queen of the Ethiopians. "This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that he was reading. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, and so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is this prophet? Who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." Philip here explains the good news about Jesus before the baptism occurred. The guy did not understand what he was reading. He asked Philip for help. Philip explained it to him. And it doesn't necessarily say that, you know, he gained full understanding, but that happened before baptism. There are things that we obviously need to even say we're accountable for when we are baptized. You know, you need to have the faith before you're baptized in order to understand what you're even getting yourself involved into. It's a big commitment. And so, yes, we do need the Holy Spirit to have full understanding of God's word, but it starts, that understanding starts before baptism, and I think you can start writing that on your heart even before baptism. Now, eventually, if you want to commit yourself to God, you do need to be baptized, but I think it starts before baptism. My last point here, they're kind of like points, but I want to talk about just how we start with gaining knowledge. So we've talked about the understanding. We've talked about what you need to have, you know, have the understanding and the Holy Spirit. But let's talk about some practical ways we can just gain knowledge. You know, this isn't like a way to memorize it, but this is how people gain knowledge. And I've broken it up into three different categories, and I think these are all encompassing. I think there's only three different ways we can actually gain knowledge or facts. We can be taught by someone else. That's one way to learn. We can prove something through studying, or we can experience it. It's really the only three ways you can gain knowledge. And I think that this kind of applies to understanding, maybe a little different if you want to gain the meaning of all those facts that you're learning. But those are the three ways that you can figure out something. If you're taught by someone else, if you prove it to yourself through some kind of logic, if you're studying the scripture and you prove something, or if you experience it. Now, all of these things have, you know, there's some trouble that can come with all of these things. You know, if you trust someone completely and you're trusting what they're teaching you, they might be wrong. If you try and prove something through the Bible, you could make a mistake. And experiences can vary from person to person, right? Like, you can see something very different, a situation, than another person. But really, if you take all of those three methods of how you learn something and you apply the Holy Spirit and God's understanding to your heart, then that's how you can study the Bible. And that's how you can memorize, you could say, certain things and learn how to put that on your heart. Now, I want to be careful, because if you focus on just the knowledge, you don't need to turn there, but you can write down John 5, verse 39 through 40. This is just one scripture I took out from the Pharisees. Christ told the Pharisees, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." There's many scriptures where it talks about the Pharisees having knowledge, but not having, you know, they have some understanding, but they're definitely not applying that into their life. They're very hypocritical. You know, they're not writing the understanding of God's word on their heart. And so when you're focused on gaining facts and knowledge of the Bible, just be careful that, you know, you don't become hypocritical, that you don't only focus on the letter of the law. We definitely want to focus on using the Holy Spirit to understand the deeper things of God's law and God's way. So in conclusion, we just went through the three ways you can gain knowledge, but just remember that you don't have to memorize the entire Bible. That's not what God has called us to do. I think that's, you know, a neat thing if you want to try and memorize certain books, like, more power to you. I'm not great at memorizing, so I won't be trying that, so don't quiz me. But remember to lean on God's understanding of what's right and wrong. We are going to try to do our best in our walk with God, and everyone's trying to do what they hope, think God is, you know, what God thinks is right and wrong. But don't lean on your own understanding. If you put God out of the picture, lean on your own understanding, what do we talk about? You're not going to be familiar with God, you're not going to have the confidence, and you're not going to have his rod and staff to comfort you when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're only going to have your own understanding, and I think you want God's understanding on your side. But after you have all of that, remember to write it on your heart. Not just the knowledge, not just the memorization. Write what is right and wrong, the deeper things of God, on your heart. Use the Holy Spirit to help you with that, because you need to have that understanding. You need to know the principles of God, because yes, there are going to be things out there. You can't memorize every single situation in life. There are going to be things out there that you can't plan for, and you need to have God's understanding on your heart in order to go through those trials successfully. And then, oh yeah, then don't try and sight read. I still like that example. I go back to that a lot. Don't try and sight read. You know, if you're not practicing God's word day by day, just like it says in the Old Testament, then you're going to have to sight read through life. And again, that's the very first step, is if you're going to try and memorize or understand anything, you have to practice it. I think that's one of the most important things. And if you, again, want evidence of scripture that says you should probably study the word daily, go back to those Old Testament scriptures where it says, you know, this word needs to live in your mouth. You need to teach it to your children daily, and you need to have it written in your heart. So I hope that everyone can have the true understanding of God's right and wrong written on their heart, and you can have the comfort of God's rod and staff as you go through the valley of the shadow of death.